Adventures in Research. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science produced as a public service in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. And today bringing you the story of Dr. Neil Svensson and his discovery of phototherapy, the art of healing with light. Dr. Svensson's story is another instance in science of success growing out of apparent failure, of strength growing out of weakness. For Svensson was incurably sick at the age of 21. After taking his medical degree at the University of Copenhagen, he learned that his illness prevented him from ever practicing medicine. But that did not stop his curiosity about life, about science. Our story begins on a beautiful summer day in 1893. Neil Svensson is sitting in his garden while his sweetheart, Ingeborg, reads to him.
And Per said to Solveig, "Ah, then I need no bolts to guard me, no locks against the powers of evil. My hunter's hut is consecrated if you deign enter it and live there. Let me look at you. How lovely, how..." Niels?
No, yes, Ingeborg.
You were not listening.
I'm sorry, please forgive me. I was watching that cat.
Cat?
Yes, that one over there, sunning itself near the birch tree. And you know, it's the most amazing thing. Each time the shadow of the tree crept up and cast itself on the sleeping cat, the cat awakened, stretched herself, and moved again into the sunlight. That happened all afternoon.
So, all afternoon I was reading, and you were not listening.
Ingeborg, please continue. I know it was rude of me, but I couldn't help myself. The cat's behavior is strikingly similar to the skating bug I observed the other day.
Really, Niels? You are more complex than Peer Gynt. What is all this about a cat and skating bug?
Well, just the other day, I was crossing the bridge over the Slottsholmen Canal. I stopped and looked down into the water. I noticed a skating bug being carried downstream by the current. But every time the bug reached the dark line of the bridge's shadow on the water, he shot back upstream into the sunlight. I stayed there for at least 20 minutes, and it happened again and again and again.
Shall I continue reading?
Please do.
"You're mine, then. Go in. I would see you within.
I will fetch some wood for the sunlight. What is there in the sunlight that they both responded to? If animals and insects like the sun, what about man?
Now she is found and won.
Is sunlight beneficial to man? Could sunlight do good to a man's body? Could sunlight do harm?"
Just then, Niels.
Yes, Ingeborg, I'm listening, really.
No, my dear. You're 1,000 miles away with your cats and skating bugs and sunlight. That will be all for today.
Long before Finson's simple observation, scientists had analyzed sunlight and broken it up into rays of different colors, rays with different wavelengths that have different effects. But what good were they? Idly at first, Svensson began experiments to find out. He put some earthworms into a wooden box and covered the top half of it with a sheet of red glass and the other half with a sheet of blue glass.
"Now I'll turn on a light so that the red light and blue light will shine on the earthworms. Good. Now to observe the worms' reaction to the different lights. This is interesting. The worms under the blue lights are moving. Yes, crawling away from the blue light into the red light. But those worms under the red light, they lie still. They seem perfectly content. Now I'll reverse the red and blue glasses. Just as I thought. The worms again crawl away from the blue light to the red light. Why? Why is it that under the blue light, the worms become restless and ill at ease?
Finson was aware that red light, which vibrates only half as fast as blue light, was the carrier of heat. And that blue and violet light, the actinic rays, are cold and have power to cause chemical change. Finson lost no time. He went to the medical library to search the records of earlier explorers in this field. But he found very little. However, he did come across a thin little pamphlet, a report of an American Army doctor named Pictou, which was published in 1832.
During a smallpox epidemic here in New Orleans, there were so many soldiers stricken at the fort that out of necessity we had to confine many of the sick to a bomb storage room underground. This caused great inconvenience, since the room, being underground, was entirely in darkness. However, it was observed that those soldiers who were kept in the dark recovered sooner and miraculously escaped pitting, the curse of smallpox. Those patients kept in the military hospital took longer to recover and, sad to report, were blemished for life.
In a flash, Dr. Finson seized upon the lead. From his experiments with the earthworms, he knew the miracle that had taken place 61 years ago in that dark dungeon in New Orleans. He went immediately to see the chief surgeon of Blegdem Hospital in Copenhagen.
But, Dr. Finson, this is ridiculous. On what do you base your claims?
Dr. Specht, it isn't ridiculous. It makes sense. Don't you see? To keep smallpox patients from getting scarred, you should eliminate all light.
And what does the light have to do with smallpox?
It is the light that causes the damage. Now tell me, where do people break out in blisters when they get smallpox?
All over.
Exactly, all over. And where do these blisters suppurate and scar? On their hands and face. Is that not so?
Yes.
On their hands and face, just the places exposed to the light. Now, if you will isolate your smallpox patients into one room and hang thick red curtains over the windows so that only red light will enter...
Why red light?
Because by using only red, you eliminate the actinic rays, blue and violet and ultraviolet, which are responsible for the damage to the skin in smallpox.
Oh, forgive me. Forgive me, Finson, but this is the most preposterous theory I've ever heard.
Please, Dr. Specht, you may think me a crank, but please, don't laugh.
Finson published a paper on his red light therapy for smallpox. And within a month, reports began to come in, attesting the validity of Finson's claims. From Bergen, Norway, two doctors reported.
Dr. Lindholm and myself, Dr. Svensson, isolated several of our patients who had broken out into very severe blisters, into dark rooms made red with thick red hangings. And we are pleased to report that 2 weeks later, every single patient left the hospital completely unscarred.
And from far off Gothenburg in Sweden came further verification.
We experimented with Dr. Finson's phototherapy on a patient suffering from the deadly black smallpox. By having the patient lie in a room under a red light, the smallpox lesions were healed without scar formation.
Overnight, Finson's name became known around the world. He now turned his scientific curiosity to the blue and violet rays, which were detrimental to smallpox.
Surely the blue and violet rays of the sun must be of some use. It is these rays which penetrate deeply enough into the skin to cause painful sunburn. Why, then, should they not be able to kill germs and possibly cure diseases of the skin? I must try this.
Finson faced another problem. Where in dismal Denmark would he find constant sunlight? Bright, piercing sunlight over a long, controlled period of time. Finson decided to make his own sunlight. He went to Wilfred Hansen, the chief engineer of the Copenhagen Electric Works.
The light I will need, Mr. Hansen, should be strong enough to cause inflammation like sunburn when focused on human flesh.
What you really want is a miniature sun.
That's it exactly. A powerful sunlight with strong violet rays.
What do you intend to use such a light for, Doctor?
I'm not sure yet, but I believe eventually
Strong blue and violet rays could cure certain diseases, particularly of the skin. Now, if we could find a patient with a bad case of skin disease, and if we succeeded in curing the disease, then it would prove it.
Doctor, I know of such a case. A friend of mine, an engineer, Mogensen.
What does he suffer from?
Lupus.
Tuberculosis of the skin. It's practically incurable, Hansen.
So all the doctors have told him. He has had it now for 8 years. He's been operated on 25 times. That poor man's face has been cut, burned with acids, seared with hot irons. They've tried everything. And still it gets worse. Poor Mergensen stays home, ashamed to be seen by anyone. Do you think you could help him, Doctor? Do you?
How soon can you get me that light?
At the latest, a week.
All right. We'll give it a try, Hansen. Perhaps it will work. Mr. Mogensen, this may take some time. Now, I want you to lie on this table and make yourself perfectly comfortable.
Thank you, Doctor.
Now, my assistant will take turns with me and hold this blue glass close to your face while we shine this strong light on you. Do you think you can stand it?
After lupus, I can stand anything.
Turn on the light, Mr. Bloomquist. Does it burn, Mr. Mogensen?
No, it feels good.
Relax. Be comfortable. We've got 2 hours' work ahead of us.
Onto the sore ulcer of Mogensen's cheek, Dr. Finson shot the hot light from the fiery carbon of Hansen's 25-ampere lamp. He focused all that arc's rays through a clumsy setup of lenses, shot the whole hot cone of them down onto less than a square inch of flesh for 2 hours. Day after day, week after week, time ran into months. Mogensen getting more and more annoyed and intensely uncooperative.
Don't fidget, Mogensen, please. I want to take a close look at your right cheek.
Doctor, it's no use. Why continue?
Mogensen, when did you last look at your right cheek?
This morning.
Here's a mirror. Look, there on the right cheekbone. The ulcer's edge has gotten redder than last few days and blistered.
Yes.
Well, look now, man. What do you see?
The blister's dried up and fallen off.
But now look closely. What do you see?
Doctor, is it real?
Real skin, Mogensen. New, healthy skin. What do you say to that?
Thank God. After 8 years, I'm going to be well again.
Not long afterward, Niels Finsen, a stricken man himself, sat up in his wheelchair to receive the Nobel Prize of 1904. Late that summer, as the autumn mists and fogs blotted out the Danish sun, Finsen died, leaving this last testament to the science of phototherapy, for which he had done so much.
All that I have accomplished in my experiments with light, and all that I've learned with its therapeutic value, has come about because I needed sunlight so much myself.
And that's today's Adventure in Research, produced in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. These programs are broadcast to Armed Forces personnel overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week for another transcribed story of science on Adventures in Research.